Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justice Toe. Actually, I'm Justine, but Justice, along with Lucifer, Full Stop, V8, and Mafia No Fear, are all names that New Zealand officials have banned a parent from calling their child. And this is not a joke. A person wanted to call their baby Full Stop, but these officials have stepped in and said that you can't call your kid that because that's going to make them a laughingstock. Now, a story like this shows that we feel really strongly about names. We regard names as having a connection with the person. And I think we feel like this even though we don't really know why. Now, Michael Martin is the minister of the Upper Room, and he's been thinking about this issue, this connection between name and identity. Welcome to the program, Mick.
Great to be here.
Well, I want to ask you first up, do you know what Michael means?
It means something like unto God, which, you know, is quite ironic, I think, given in my case. But yeah, it's close to God or like unto God.
I put this question out on Twitter as well and got a couple of responses. My friend Jessica said her name means wealthy one, but she followed that up quickly with, which has always been an outright lie. Now, I think this particular example shows that we have a sense that names matter and that they should have a connection with their identity, which is why she said it's a lie that I've been a wealthy one. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there just seems to be something fundamental in human culture that sees names as having a real significance to the individual. You know, so I think it's interesting, first of all, that there seems to be this human universal across cultures that we see individual people as having individuality, you know, that each person is somehow unique. As opposed, say, to a school of fish, where you kind of don't have that same kind of sense of, I mean, yes, they are all differentiated, but we don't kind of have that sense of individual identity that we do particularly with humans, but even other animals like dogs and cats and things, you know, they have this idea of individual uniqueness. And so even we got a dog 6 months ago and the whole process of naming the dog became quite a big deal, you know, because it's like we really want to give this dog a name that suits the personality and the nature of the dog anyway, but in the process of naming, we feel like we are somehow setting something in place, you know, for a particular individual. And I've done a little bit of reading around. Across cultures, the whole process of giving a person a name is taken very seriously, and there's a whole lot of ritual and symbolism and protocols around the naming of children. And in some cases, children are not named until later in life when it becomes a bit more apparent what kind of person they are, you know. So there is this idea that just sits in all human culture, I think, that a name attaches to the uniqueness of a person, and somehow we want that name to express that uniqueness, you know, or to somehow capture a sense of that uniqueness.
No, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful idea. And yes, when you think about the sort of energy and devotion new parents or expecting parents, you know, give to this whole process, you can get a sense of how important it is. Now, we asked some people on the streets of Sydney about what their name was and if they thought that it described them in any significant way. So let's see what they have to say.
My name's Leo.
And Leo, do you know what your name means?
Generally, the name Leo is associated like with the word lion and bravery. That's usually the association.
And has that been reflected in your own life?
At times not.
My official name is Elizabeth. I think it means oath of God, but I don't really know what that means.
Madeline. I think it means woman from Magdala. Pretty versatile. I can, you know, go anywhere in the world and they'll understand my name.
I'm just horrified by the fact that my boyfriend would like to call any daughter of ours Domino.
Now, that last woman didn't want her daughter to be called Domino. And I guess you can understand why, not only for the connotations with pizza, but, yes, you know, possibly she can't stand up for herself or something ridiculous.
Yeah. She falls over and everything goes down.
That's right. Yeah. Now, if names have a connection with identity, what if someone's name is completely out of step with who they feel themselves to be? And I'll put myself in the spotlight here. I mean, my name's Justine. It is supposed to signify justice, fair, upright, right? And I can think of plenty of times in my life where I've let my name down.
Sure, yeah. I think in our culture, in Western culture particularly, we have lost a little bit of a sense of the significance of names. You know, we still have a little bit of ritual. You know, we might have a christening ceremony or some kind of naming ceremony or a baptism in some Christian traditions where the child is given a name. And we might spend a bit of time checking the meaning and, you know, looking up the books and deciding against this one because we don't like what it means. But I don't think we have that same sense of this name is going to somehow speak of the destiny of this child. But what happens, I think, is almost the reverse, where as we develop as people, our name becomes attached to the person that we are. And so, you know, Justine Taube becomes representative of who you actually are, rather than you in some way living up to
that. Filling the shoes of that name.
So that's right, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Although in some, again, in some cultures, and I think in the Judaic tradition, there is a sense in which when they name a child, that it's often it comes with the hope that somehow that child will live up into that name. And so I read one rabbi talking about it. He said it's almost like this becomes a prayer for that child, you know, which I think is a lovely idea. You know, I think the idea of instilling in a name that kind of significance, so that it becomes like, this is our hope for your life, or, you know, we hope that this is the kind of person you will be.
Now, I just want to pick you up on that point, because you've talked about the significance of naming in a Judaic tradition. You know, what if the problem is the reverse? I can think of, for example, the character of Jacob in the Bible, and that name, the biblical meaning is actually he who grasps the heel, supplanter, and has these connotations of deceptive or deceitful. So how does that work as a prayer, perhaps?
The story of his birth, he was a twin, you know, and his twin brother Esau came out first, which, of course, has huge significance in that culture, the oldest son. But apparently Jacob came out holding on to his heel. And so the name that was given to him was descriptive of that. You know, and again, in a lot of cultures, a child is given a name that somehow speaks of the circumstances around their coming into the world. And so he gets the name Jacob. And then interestingly, he seems to live up to that. You know, over the course of his early life, he's constantly trying to do Esau out of his inheritance, you know, trying to supplant and usurp him, and is actually successful in that. But then it's the fascinating thing is Jacob has this encounter with God, and in the process of which God gives him a new name and names him Israel, which is one who is triumphant with God, you know. So there's this lofty kind of idea of one who wrestles with God and perseveres and come, you know, it's like this is a whole change of identity. Mm. And I think it's an interesting case, because sometimes the name that we, or the names that are attached to us, and now kind of speaking metaphorically, you know, not just the thing on our birth certificate, but names that are attached to us in the course of our lives can become defining, you know, so that we actually start to believe some of those names that are attached to us, you know, like, and they can be negative things, like you're not very bright, or they can be positive things, like, oh, actually, you're really good at X. And so these labels and names and things get attached to us, and then we start to live up to or live down to those names. But there's always this sense that there's this other name, you know, that, like the name that expresses who we really are. And that's kind of what I'm interested in all of this.
There's plenty of other examples as well in the Bible where individuals are given a different name. Can you walk us through a couple of those?
Another example in the New Testament, when Jesus was calling his disciples, and he chose a guy called Simon, who was a fisherman. And then Simon apparently means reed, you know, so this notion of something flexible and bendy and not very strong. But Jesus says, you are Simon, I'm going to call you Peter. And Peter means rock. You can read into that this idea that Jesus saw in Peter something that Peter perhaps didn't see in himself. And it's interesting when we look at Peter's story through the pages of the Gospels particularly. He was often wavering and
neither here nor there.
Exactly, you know, and got it wrong so many times, and very unrock-like, and yet became the man who led the early church and became one of the pillars of the early church and became that rock that Jesus saw in him. You know, so I think there's, from a Christian perspective, I think there's this idea that God sees us as we truly are and sees all of our potential, and we see these instances in Scripture where He renames people accordingly, you know, either to something in the character that's yet to be untapped or something in their destiny that's yet to be fulfilled.
Now, Mick, most often we get a name, but we also live in a world where it's really important to be an individual, you know, to make a name for ourselves, right, and sort of, you know, identify and define ourselves apart from where we've come from. So in that context, what attraction is there in this idea of a God-given identity?
Yeah, I think that in a sense, the idea of making a name for ourselves is somewhat mythical. You know, it's like it suggests that we somehow live in isolation, or, you know, that we're an island, you know, and that we have the wherewithal just to the self-made person, you know, that, and make a name for ourselves means we sort of discard every other influence and every other, which you just can't do. But there is that idea of pursuing a sense of the person you want to be. We have phrases like, you know, discover yourself or find yourself, be true to yourself. So this idea that there is this idealized me. So that expression, make a name for yourself, kind of plays into that idea, I think, of becoming somehow the ideal person that we want to be. Of course, we never, ever succeed in doing that. The idea of having a God-given name, and again, that speaking somewhat metaphorically here, but is the idea that God knows us completely, implicitly, accepts us completely, and sees our potential. You know, going back to those examples, guys like Abram and Peter and Jacob, it's an acknowledgement and, I guess, a yielding to the idea that we are actually created, that we are made. And in that, we find incredible value and purpose and identity.
We're going to finish by playing a clip from an interview that we did with Lynn Cowick, the Associate Professor of New Testament at Wheaton College. She's talking in this section of the interview about Mary Magdalene going to Jesus' tomb. She's there to look for his body, but she finds something else instead.
And she arrives at the tomb and it's empty and she can't find this body that she's going to anoint, and she turns, there's a gardener. She thinks it's a gardener. So she asks, well, do you know what's happened here? And he just turns and he says her name. And it's like she suddenly realizes who he is. And to me, that's a picture of Jesus calling each of his disciples by name. And when he says your name, it's like you know yourself. It's like you know what you can be and you know that you're loved. That's the sense that I get from that scene.
So Lynn says, when he says your name, it's like you know yourself. That seems to sum up what you've been talking about.
Yeah, I think, and she puts it beautifully, I think, in that clip, that when Mary has this encounter with the risen Jesus and he just says that one word to her, it's like he expresses everything about her. He sums up her whole person, her whole life, just in that one word. And I think there's this sense of there being this complete acceptance of who she is, you know, and she finds herself in that moment. The value of this idea that God has a name for each of us is that idea that God knows everything that we can possibly be and sees us for who we truly are, sees through all the failures and the shortcomings and all the lies that we embrace about ourselves, and sees the truth and then calls us that name and calls us to be that person.
Mm. And I know you're a big fan of the novel Shantaram as well. And this kind of comes through in that novel as well. Is that right?
It's a semi-autobiographical thing. Gregory David Roberts, who was an armed robber and escaped from prison and escaped to India and found himself being immersed in Indian culture. And he met this guy when he first arrived, an Indian guy called Prabhakar, who was a guide and who offered him his services as a guide, and he took him on. They became very close friends. After knowing each other for a while, Prabhakar invited him to go and visit his village. So he went there and lived there for a few months. And he talks about this episode where the women of the village gave him this new name. And he talks about his sense of identity. He said he always saw himself as a fighter, like that was what his life was all about. And his body language and his behavior and everything, all his whole message was, don't mess with me. That was the message that his life gave out. But in this village, where they'd never met a Westerner before, none of the body language or the signals he was sending out had any cultural reference point for them. And so if he was being stern or angry, they'd think he was just messing around. They'd slap him on the back and laugh, you know. So they gave him this new name, Shantaram, which means man of peace or man of God's peace. And something in the process of receiving this new name triggered something in him where he talks about how he'd always seen himself one way, but now here were these people, and this again plays into this thing of others giving us identity, here were this group of women who saw him in a completely different light. And he reflects on it and he says, I don't know whether they saw this in me or whether this was some wish that they were speaking over my life, but he said something in that renaming began the process by which I became the person that I truly am.
Thanks, Mick. I get the sense that this is an issue that speaks to us really deeply, and it strikes me that it's worth all of us thinking through the names that we get given and, you know, beyond that, what our real name might be. Join us next time on Life and Faith.